Hello, Terrapins, and welcome back to the Terps for Life podcast, where we are in part three of our three-part series with Coach Joe Fenlon, talking about our core principles of excellence and success. And I've got really two more questions for you, and one stems from, you know, not only did you get 800 wins last year, not only is, you know, the floor at Tampa Prep dedicated to you with your name on the floor, Joe Fenlon Court, but you're also inducted into the FHSA Hall of Fame. And something that I learned from that, because I'm always trying to be that sponge in the room and just soak up what I can from people that have been successful, is that when we traveled to Gainesville for that Hall of Fame induction, was that, you know, you coming from a small Tampa Prep, you know, with very few students, filled up about 10 tables. And the FHSA said, well, you get two tables, and you had so many people that wanted to go there that we had to buy all these extra tickets. And it was just a testament as to what you've built with culture. And it's easy for us to point, you know, the finger at just you and say, look what you have built. But you really had talked about in your speech about it being a family. And, you know, you being humble enough to say it's your one small piece of the puzzle, which we all think you're so much more than that. But can you tell us about, when we talk about success and excellence, what, how important is it for that family atmosphere and at the same time staying competitive and pushing each other? And, you know, is there a line where you say, okay, it's time to go into game mode and be the competitor, not the family? Or do you think that, you know, family is the most important part because of the relationships that it builds?
I think family is the most important. I think it has to be grounded in that. And I think the best cultures are ones, you know, we talk about family, but it's more connection, that every student needs to feel a connection, whether you're the star of the team or you're the 15th guy on the roster, you still have that same experience at the end of the year. And, you know, I was very flattered in Gainesville when all those kids came up. The thing I always hammer home to the kids is I've coached here 38 previous years. This is my 39th. We never went winless. So every single kid who has ever played basketball at Tampa Prep has afforded me accolades that I never could have done without them. It didn't matter what our final record was. If you judge yourself by wins and losses, that means 37 of my previous 38 seasons, we lost the last game, which means we weren't successful. I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. Success is where our kids end up someday. I have CEOs of companies that come back that played for us. Is that the definition of success? No. Every kid who plays here or is a student here needs to have the opportunity to be successful in whatever part of life they choose. You know, it doesn't mean you have to be a multimillionaire. Chase your passion. You know, and I tell the kids frequently also in practice that, you know, playing basketball is not court-appointed community service by the judge, okay? This is something you chose to play, so have some passion. Have some passion and some emotion, but you also have to channel it in the right direction. I love where our kids have gone off. You know, the ball's only going to bounce, and this is another adage I use with the kids, balls are only going to bounce for so many years. And then you have to be the best person you can be, the best father, the best brother, the best uncle. And those are the little nuances that I hope kids pick up. Is what does it mean to be a good father? What does it mean to be a good brother? What does it mean to be a good son? All right. All the things we want in all those people are the same thing coaches want in their players. Someone that you can trust. Someone you can count on any time. People that are going to, when they make mistakes, hold themselves accountable. You know, life lessons don't only have to happen outside of athletics. I think the ability to actually make kids accountable, but if you make them accountable and you're in an environment where they trust that you're doing it because you like them, not because you're mad at them or you want to yell at them, it's just, I always tell my kids, I'm not going to hold you accountable for something I haven't taught you. And every year, we do a lot of fundamentals because I always believe that in my sport, you win and lose with fundamentals at the end of the day. You can be the greatest, you know, dunker in the world, but you're only going to get a few times to dunk. You're going to have to pass, dribble, and shoot far more than you're going to get a chance to dunk. So, I like the things that you've spoken about with the different values, but I think really, and I want to jump to another one, and I'm sorry, I think it's teaching kids to be present, to me, is one of the most important things as well. Because if you are where your feet are, you're going to be much more successful that day. Everyone envisions winning a state championship. Everyone envisions getting an A+ in class. But you can't get there without the steps it takes to get there. And you have to trust that the process that the adults in your life are putting you in are going to help you get to that goal, to that destination that you're looking for. So, I love what I do. It's a blast, you know, and I'm not saying that in 38 previous years that everyone absolutely loves Joe Fenlon who played basketball for him, but every one of them knows that they were treated respectfully and that I cared about them. And it's really hard for that kid at the end of the bench to understand you truly care about them. But I'm going to go back, and I know you got to cut some of this stuff. But when I was a junior in high school, I only played in 7 games. I know what it's like to sit on a bench. I know what it's like to sit and not get minutes. So when I'm coaching a game, I'm wondering how I can get these kids in the game so they can feel a part of the process. And it eats at me when I can't do that. It really, really, truly does, because I know what that feels like. You know, and I was fortunate enough my senior year that things worked out better. I had an opportunity to play in college, but I never thought that could happen. Michael Jordan and I got a lot in common. We both got cut as sophomores. I broke my leg as a freshman, broke my growth plate, was not ready to play basketball. We moved from Atlanta to Milwaukee. No one in Milwaukee knew who I was. Joe Fenlon meant nothing to them. I got cut. And that was also something that really pushed me and drove me. So I've been cut. I've sat on a bench. But I loved my experience in high school, and I loved the guy I played basketball for. And it wasn't for the playing time. It was the same guy that I played my senior year for that helped me go to college was the same guy who cut me on the JV team as a sophomore. And so if you can go full circle like that, to me, that set the tone for me. I had a phenomenal college coach that I idolized. And, you know, he was much calmer than I am currently. But, you have different people that come and go in your life that you take nuggets from. And that's what I hope my players do. You know, I don't expect them to remember everything we've taught, but if they remember one or two things that can help them become a better person, then we've done our job.
And we've talked about, or you've just talked about, a lot about relationships. And the sense of humor of this podcast was that I feel like we should talk about your relationship with officials and how that goes each game, but I think we'll leave that for a different podcast, maybe later on next year. But, you know, you're also humble enough that in your Hall of Fame speech, I'm going to go back to that, where you said you never dribbled a basketball on the floor, you never took a shot, you never made a shot. But I think that the Terrapins that you have coached have been honored and blessed, and you've always put them in the best position to win. And I think that, you know, you've built a culture here that I think you kind of went through the process and without really knowing you went through it. You know, when I got here, we went through something called the MVP process, where we talked about what our mission was, we talked about goals, and we added core principles in there. And I think you just did that, you know, by nature, by default, not really necessarily making it a conscious effort to go through that process, but just did it as you built the culture here. I think my last question is what I call the million-dollar question for you is, 39 years of coaching, what does the 39 years of, you know, veteran coach tell year one Coach Fenlon? What do you know right now that you wish you knew when you first started coaching 39 years ago?
that wins are not the most important thing. You know, I would have sold my soul to the devil when I first got to Tampa Prep for a win. We won 5 games my first year. It took us 11 years to get to a district final. We won 18 consecutive district championships after that. Never in my wildest dreams did I think a place like Tampa Prep could become a state-known name in the sport. And one of the things that I try to tell young coaches now I can say that because I'm old, is enjoy the moment. And I don't think I enjoyed a lot of it growing up because I was so driven to be successful. And I don't think I defined successful the right way when I was younger. I judged it on the scoreboard because I never really thought I'd still be here 39 years later. Mm. I'm like, hey, I'll get in and out and I'll be in college and these kids won't know who I am. And then I fell in love with being a high school coach and saw the impact you could have. And, you know, and I know I spoke earlier, but to see the kids come back, Chris, to me, is one of the greatest testaments, not only for athletics, but for our school. You know, I'll be very honest. I think I've been back to my high school once since I graduated. Now, you know, I can justify it all I want. My parents moved to New Jersey after I graduated from high school. Then they moved to Dallas. I never really had a home base back in Wisconsin. But I don't want those kids to feel that way. I want them to be able to walk in the gym and walk in the locker room and nobody thinks twice about it. But what I also want to do is be able to introduce those kids to the kids that are here now and explain to them what it meant when those kids were here. And we frequently talk about you're only going to have a limited amount of time to have your hands on the wheel of the bus. Where are you taking the bus when it's your turn to drive? You can't control what happened previously, and you can't control what happens after you leave. But you can have an impact for future generations by what you do today.
Terrapins, this three-part series podcast with Coach Fenlon is something that you need to listen to on repeat. I think that over this break, rather than just hang it up and not do much of anything, I challenge each of you to listen to this podcast. Not once, not twice, but as much as you can, and be that sponge that I spoke about earlier. Soak up everything you can get from an icon like Coach Joe Fenlon and what he has done here at Tampa Prep. He's about the process. He is about, you know, building a family. He's about relationships. He's about culture. And as we talk with excellence and the performance pathway is that leaders drive culture. Culture drives behavior, and behavior is what drives and gets us results. Well, Coach Fenlon has done just that. He has provided us and all of his players with a culture to be proud of, something that has destined them, all of them, to success, whether it be in basketball or in life or as a family man. And we really kind of need to applaud and thank him for that. Terrapins, go live above the lines. Go make a better version of yourself. Go be Terps today so you can become Terps for life.